Welcome to This Week in Missouri Politics. This week we are joined by Representative Tracy McCurry, not on the panel, this time running for state senate, correct?
Correct.
So what made you decide to run?
Well, I ran for office as an independent voice for Common Sense Solutions, and I feel like I've been really effective on working on things like healthcare, reducing taxpayer giveaways to wealthy special interests. I've been very strong in my support of supporting public education, but there's a lot more work to be done, and that's why I'm running for the state senate.
Well, you actually get a few things done driving to Jeff City in a about four dozen Democrat member minority status. But in the Senate, you actually will be able to do a lot more things. I mean, it's a whole different ballgame, right?
Correct, yes. And I feel like I have really fine-tuned my skills of being able to work well with others in the House, because I can work with people in both parties in both chambers, but I'm not a pushover either. But I do feel like I'm going to be way more effective for my constituents when I move over to the Senate.
Well, known as you scored not only the endorsement of Senator Shoup, which had to feel, you've served with her.
I have.
Well, she's in the Senate. That had to feel good to get the endorsement of the person that's actually served in the seat and been a very good senator for 6 years.
It was a huge honor to have Senator Shoup's endorsement right out of the gate. But also, I worked as a Senate staffer for 8 years in this very Senate district for State Senator Joan Bray, and I have her full support as well. So it feels really good.
Yep. Firefighters? Maybe the best endorsement in politics is firefighters. They'll go knock doors for you. Those guys, when they support you, they put their back into it.
I'm really looking forward to having the firefighters out on the doors for me once the weather warms up a little bit.
So, the election will be primary next summer, general election next November. There was election this week in Virginia. Not a great night for Democrats. It felt like you had the Republicans seemed to have the momentum of the time. The guy had a good look to him. He seemed happy. He was talking about things. The Democrat, I'm not sure, was the best candidate I've ever seen just from halfway across the country. But he talked about some things that normally education is a issue that Democrats talk about. This guy took the issue of education and really was aggressive with it. Look into next summer. What did you learn from this fall in Virginia?
Well, you know, Virginia is not Missouri and vice versa, mm-hmm. So that's a good thing. And I'm not a political pundit, but the lessons I think all candidates learn from looking at election outcomes, both locally and nationally, is that you have to be really, really in touch with your own district. And that doesn't mean you telling your district what they want. You have to listen. You have to be open to communication, and you have to be out there on the people's doors talking to them. And, you know, I think that's one advantage of running for an office like state senate or state house, for that matter, is the districts are still manageable enough that you can get out there and go to people's porches and talk to them and listen.
Mm-hmm. So back to education. That really surprised me. When I first heard this guy's talking about education, Republicans normally don't. And if they do, they're on the defensive. Usually Democrats, that's an issue. If you had to say which party trusts with education, I would think most Missourians, certainly in your district, would say Democrats. This guy came out, and I have to say, something I've been saying for a very long time, something I've been saying since I thought my son was going to get trapped in this gulag at Karl Marx Elementary out in West County. I just think in that you're a very successful St. Louis politician. I'm a white trash hillbilly. I don't know that a teacher has time to do reading, writing, arithmetic, and chase five-year-olds and a strap mask on them. Explain it to me. I don't get the logic.
Well, you know, up until this point, we were using policies like masking and social distancing just to buy time until we could get a vaccine approved for people. So this was a turning point this week for the vaccinations to be approved for kids 5 and over. So
sure.
To me, that's a big deal. I also feel like local elected school boards and the parents who elect those school boards can make the best decisions for them. And we saw that happening around the state of Missouri, where school boards were doing different things. They were doing what was best for their local area. And our own Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, DESE, most of the schools were following DESE's recommendations. So, you know, really this is more of an issue that Governor Parsons should address if people have concerns.
You know, I talked to him last week, and, you know, I think it's things like that may make some Republicans in for some long days in the Senate if you get there.
Well, we'll see.
Let's talk about another issue that I've seen come out of Democrats supporting and wanting, and even some Republicans, about paid family leave. What does that mean?
Well, paid family leave is a way for employees to take some paid time away from work so that they can celebrate and bond with a newborn baby or a child that they've adopted. It also allows for time away from work if someone comes down with a serious illness or a family member gets seriously ill. And I've worked with Senator Jill Shoup for years on a very Missouri-specific approach to earned family and medical leave, where the employees chip in a little bit of money, and then they are able to take time away from work. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I bring to the legislature is I spend a lot of time in corporate America. The most expensive thing I ever did was recruit and train new employees. And when you put a program like earned family and medical leave in, what happens is you have a lot less employee turnover. Because right now, if someone can't get paid time away from work, that doesn't mean they're not going to take time away to deal with their cancer diagnosis. They're just going to quit. And so anything we can do to make sure that good employees have the ability to get some pay while they're dealing with something serious or important, like the birth of a child, mm-hmm. then you're going to be able to retain that employee. It's going to help the bottom line, and it'll be more affordable for the employers in the long run. And again, this Missouri bill that I've worked on with Senator Shoup is funded by the employees, not the employers.
I've seen some employers sign on to this approach. This is not it's some liberal policy. This is a lot of the business community I've seen actually advocate for this to be uniform, because they may do it in their company, but a competitor doesn't, so it's a disadvantage.
Right, exactly, and this would level the playing field. And I also think, you know, we, in a lot, like a lot of things in Missouri, we have people that have access to some things and those that don't. This would level the playing field, and I think this would also be very beneficial for those lower wage workers that might not have paid leave through a Fortune 1000 company, for example.
So you're going to go to the Missouri Senate, you're going to talk about a couple things, probably more than anything else, guns and abortion. Where do you come down, guns and abortion? My assumption is pro-choice, maybe for some gun control. Give me the nuance view. What when you take the floor, what are you going to talk about?
Well, I think a lot of voters wish we weren't, as legislators, weren't so obsessed with those issues, because, you know, what I'm seeing in the legislature is there's a handful of extremists who aren't really focusing on the real needs of the state. So, you know, if I had a magic wand, I would, and hopefully in the Senate, I'll be able to use my voice to make sure that we're spending our time on issues that the voters want us to spend time on. But that being said, I'm not using that. I'm not going to dodge your question. So guns. I was raised in a household with guns. I'm a responsible gun owner right now myself, but with an emphasis on responsible. So, you know, I think that when you look at the numbers in Missouri and also in the United States, more than half of all women who are killed by a gun are killed by an intimate partner or a family member of all the developed countries in the world. And I just think that is wrong.
I saw Ron Hicks worked with you on a piece of legislation.
Yes.
No one loves guns in the world. I mean, I hope everyone in their life finds someone that loves them like Ron Hicks loves guns.
Amen.
But even Ron was like, there's a time when you don't need a gun, and it's during a domestic violence issue.
Exactly, yes. So since 2016, I've been working in a very bipartisan manner to close a deadly domestic violence loophole that the legislature inadvertently created when we passed a Senate bill. And again, I emphasize bipartisan, because there are people like Representative Ron Hicks, former Representative Donna Lichtenegger. We work very, very hard to try to close this loophole. And all it does is it says if someone's been convicted of something violent, that or there's a restraining order against them, that they should not be able to have access to the guns. And this is all done through the courts. It's not just a he said, she said kind of thing. It's all done through the courts. And you know, we have to be doing more to protect women and children from their abusers.
Before we go, as long as you've been coming on this show, you've talked about Medicaid expansion. Medicaid expansion then was up in the legislature, didn't pass. Then it was on the ballot, it passed. Then it was in the courts, and now it actually, I think, folks can sign up for Medicaid, correct?
They can, as of October 1st, yes.
Gotta feel good. Lord knows how many times you've talked about that on this show, much less all the other places you go to. It's gotta feel good today, right?
It feels good, and you know, one of the reasons I ran for office is, you know, I have a healthcare background, and I could see what happens to families when they don't have access to healthcare. You know, that nobody should go bankrupt if they come down with a serious illness or someone in their family gets a serious illness. And unfortunately, in Missouri and in this country, that is what happens when people don't have insurance. They go bankrupt. And that's just a lot of stress on families. So by having Medicaid expansion happening, this is allowing for quality, affordable health care for working Missourians. These are generally low-wage workers. They're working customer service. They're working at restaurants, food service, gas stations, things like that, where they're hardworking Missourians, but they don't have insurance through their employer. And I don't know about you, but when I'm at a restaurant or out and about, I want the people I interact with to be healthy. And by providing this affordable insurance to these hardworking Missourians, we're going to have better general health for everybody.
Well, thank you for joining us. Hope as the campaign unfolds, you'll come back.
I sure will. Thank you.
We'll be right back with our opinion maker panel. The most quotable man in the Missouri Republican Party, Jim Murphy, joins us after this.
All across Missouri, our new car and truck dealers are building strong local economies. When you buy a car or truck in Missouri, you're helping to support over 20,000 Missouri families who rely on the auto industry for good-paying local jobs. You're also helping fund our communities, schools, first responders, and our roads, because dealers generate millions of dollars in tax revenue. Missouri's automobile dealers have been the foundation of our communities for generations and for generations to come. The Missouri Automobile Dealers Association, the heart of Missouri.
For more than a century, the St. Louis Carpenters Union has shaped our communities. Through trusted alliances, we deliver skilled professional craftspeople while our business partners provide the kind of quality jobs that keep our economy humming. It's a blueprint that has worked since 1882. Turning Missouri into a right-to-work state stalls progress, wipes out jobs, and kills momentum. Right-to-work is wrong for everyone. Let's keep Missouri moving forward. Visit carpdc.org to learn more.
Your energy needs are changing. That's why at Ameren Missouri, we're not waiting on the future. We're building it with the Smart Energy Plan, advancing thousands of projects across the state, helping reduce emissions through cleaner energy sources, boost reliability with self-healing equipment, and better withstand storms with new composite poles. Moving Missouri forward and bringing us all a little closer together. That's energy at work.
Welcome back to Week in Missouri Politics, fun opinion maker panel. Ryan Hawkins, always where the trouble is. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Graduate banger of North County, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you.
The most quotable man in Republican politics, Jim Murphy, thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
And the Jefferson County clerk, now running for state representative, Ken Waller. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Great to be here, Scott.
Glad to see you. What made you jump in the race?
You know, I thought my career in the county government was kind of getting ready to end, and I just wanted to go to Jeff City. People think I'm crazy, but I just can't wait to get up there. So I'm going to do everything I can to win that race in the 114 and replace Becky Ruth. Tough person
big,
to replace.
Yeah, big shoes to fill, no question.
Big shoes to fill. So I'm up to the challenge, and I'm ready to go.
And you'll get freshman haze by Jim.
And you know, Jim's already made a phone call to me and a text and said anything I can do to help, let me know. So
there you go.
I'm glad he's on the show with me today. Thank you.
Ryan Hawkins, big election this week in Virginia. Didn't go well for Democrats.
Sure.
What do you take from it?
I take a couple things from it. I think that no one election predicts another election. You know, a year ago from now, we were sitting here going, you know, Democrats have the wind at their back. There was a 320 plus electoral college win. You know, you start seeing counties that were red that are now blue. You see a suburban shift. A year later, now we're sitting there going, oh my gosh, what happened to the Democratic Party? Like everything has gone, you know, down into the drain. And so I look at it and go, yeah, you know what? We lost that one. Let's pick ourselves up. But I will say the one thing that I'm glad that nobody has started. We don't have anybody at Four Seasons Landscaping doing, you know, press conferences talking about stolen elections. You know, both sides looked at it. They said, good, now we're done. Now hopefully they'll govern.
Nobody wants to recount this election, I don't think, in Virginia.
No.
Graduate Mayor, there's two different kinds of Democrats I know. There's Democrats like yourself. Then there's folks that they call the progressive, social, whatever they call themselves. I do think there's an element of folks that maybe they didn't like Trump, but maybe they would consider themselves more your kind of Democrat and get a little uncomfortable. To me, in Virginia, a state that's been trending very Democrat, it looked like they kind of put the brakes on that some. It's my observation.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that's part of the problem. We need to get together as one full unit of Democrats. I hope that we can. I hope there's someone that can guide us and we can guide each other and see and maybe learn from what happened in this election that we need to come together as a party.
Another question I have is, I think you can to fight Donald Trump or whoever the next boogeyman of Republicans. You know, it's a little easier when you're in opposition to unite. Do you think you can govern? I mean, you've seen Democrats struggle to get bills done. An infrastructure bill, which makes a ton of sense to most people, can't get through. Can you govern as one party?
I think we can govern as one party, and I think we're learning. I think the people that have that in their hands right now are learning that they need to negotiate and work together and give and take on both sides.
Jim Murphy, a Republican, ran on education. You don't see that very often. When education is talked about, usually a good day for the Democrats, right? This guy in Virginia said, I'm talking about education all the time, and he won a race he shouldn't have won by a good clip. I mean, to me, I think he's talking about education in terms of we're not going to do critical race theory. We're not going to mask our kids. There were things he did that I think touched a nerve in not just Democrats. There's not enough Republicans in Virginia. He had to go get not just Republicans, but Democrats to come into his tent. How do you do it?
Well, I think we all look at who the candidate was. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you, that isn't how they won. What happened was school parents were there screaming, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. And instead of listening, school board said, you're just lying. You know, this doesn't exist.
You're the problem.
You're the problem, yeah. Not the schools. He came out and supported them. They didn't come to him. He went to them. And that made the big difference. People are just sick and tired of being marginalized. You know, your complaints are just complaints. They're not real. They are real. They see it. They were in, you know, this universe where they were on a computer for a year, and they saw what was going on in their schools. And when they stood up and said, wait a minute, stop, they were marginalized and told, get out, or we're going to send the FBI after you.
Kim Waller had a parent-teacher conference in Karl Marx Elementary out in West County in Baldwin this week, and it was sad. There were people, these folks, this teacher is wonderful. She just had to do her job. She wants kids to teach kids reading, writing, arithmetic. You could tell this is a happy place. But when you go in there, everybody's got their face covered. You couldn't tell if they're happy or not. This poor principal who's got a whole school to manage, now she's got to chase five-year-olds and strap mask the front of their face. It was, you could just tell folks were ragged. It is beyond sense to me. Jefferson County has great schools.
Yes.
Great schools. Folks in Powder Bluff come play them in football sometimes. They come down. It feels as though people want to support their schools, but they're not going to support them if they're forcing masks down their kids' throat. And I don't even know what a CRT is. I think it's just kind of a made-up thing, but still, folks care about it.
Well, and you know one thing, Scott? I look at it from a little bit different perspective. I'm the county elections clerk right now. And you know what? You know how many people voted in our April election to put the people on the school boards? 5% of the people. So 5% of the people are making the decisions. That's part of the problem, Scott. You know, you took about all these issues, and they're not good issues to deal with. But, I mean, 5% of the people are putting those people on those school boards. So for people that want local control, there's your local control, and 5% of the people are telling the other 95% what to do. There's part of the issue.
I've known you, Representative, as an education advocate the whole time. The first time I met you, you talked about it. I think if you look in that House chamber, the Senate has never stood up for schools when they want to reform them. It's been the House, and it's been rule Republicans that says you're not going to mess with my school. I think for the different reasons lined up in this Virginia election, those bonds are being broken. I think you probably could see it amongst your colleagues, folks that were hardcore education folks that stood up for their local schools. They can't defend some of this stuff. Do you see? I don't know where that starts to change.
The schools are very important in the rural areas because that's your whole focus of your area. And I can say that having a daughter that teaches in a rural school district, that's their community, those schools. And it's very important to them for what takes place in those schools.
Now, Hawkins, tell me, what is critical race theory?
You tell me.
I think it's a trap.
It's a thesis.
That school reformers set for public school folks, and they not just fell in it, they walked in it and shut the door behind them.
You tell me, it is Republican boogeyman right now.
It's
effective in electoral politics. It's not being taught in any school that I know of. It's not being taught now. It's not being taught. It's a
not according to four districts in the state of Missouri.
It is a theory and a thesis, and Republicans on Fox News will have you believe it is being crammed down every student's throat. Right. The boogeyman of CRT drives me insane. Right. It is it is not being taught. The vast 99% majority of our kids are not being taught some graduate level thesis. Right. When my daughter goes to school, you know, she's taught algebra. She goes to French class. She goes to computer and coding right? She's not being taught some critical race theory.
Well, she's
saying with everyone else.
When she's taught history, is she taught the facts of history?
She's taught the facts of history and the things that happen.
And the way I understand critical race theory is it's a discussion among people and your feelings, and it's at the, you know, maybe an AP course, but most likely at a college level course.
I think that what Republican political operatives have found out is that they can say critical race theory, and that is a dog whistle for angry white middle-class suburban voters to say, oh my God, and what that happens, and then we can't talk about anything else, because now you've scared them to death, and they're going to vote Republican.
And the states that have passed the laws, I'm sorry to interject, the ones that have passed the laws, the history teachers can't teach about the Civil War or the Trail of Tears, any of that, because it's going to bring up bad feelings for these students. And the English teachers, how can you have an African-American author and read any English from them, because it's going to touch something that's sensitive? I'm frightened.
Jim Murphy, I don't know what critical race theory is. I do think it's a bit of bluster, but I think it's a little deeper than that. I think it's a little bit of a view of a lot of the political correctness, like the evolution of that. A lot of your colleagues are going to ban it, whatever it is. How would you define it?
Well, I would define it as, you know, America was built as the melting pot of America, of the world. Mm-hmm. And critical race theory really just separates all the ingredients. It just says, you know, this group here is the oppressor, this group here is the oppressed. And, you know, everybody's a racist anymore. We're tearing down our history. We're taking down, you know, all of these different things. And people are tired of it. And his answer is exactly why Virginia happened, because it's a denial. If you want to know where critical race theory came up, it wasn't from political operatives or politicians. It was at school board meetings with moms screaming.
He was a college professor in the 1970s for a college
I understand.
Thesis.
We're
That's
talking about a word
right
now. But when you're talking about the real concerns of real parents, go to a school board meeting. Yeah. Watch what they're saying.
Because I agree.
That's what Youngkin did, and he stood up for them.
But I go to school board meetings now, and I hear parents that are screaming at school board members saying, I know where you live. We're going to come after you.
That doesn't happen in my district, but they do come up with real facts.
You know, I think the people that do that should have hell to pay for it.
They should have hell
to
pay for it.
That's a Democratic boogeyman right there.
And I think you may be just a little boogie in there. Now, Ken Waller, you tell me. I hate to see... The school that I think the schools provide a very good product, a very good education to Missouri kids. And I'm sure the private and the charter schools do too, but I wouldn't know. Public schools I know of, Neelyville, Show Me Institute, Greg Keller sent me, the number 10 school in the state, Neelyville High School, right down there on the Arkansas line. Where do you see this? I do see a pushback towards the same folks that love their high school football team, that are in the PTA, that give when the hats pass for the school. I see them pulling back.
I don't disagree with you. And, you know, to your point about is it real or not, is it being taught in a school, perception is reality. Yeah. So if people think it's being taught, even, you know, no matter what show you watch, Fox News or whatever, if people think that that's being taught, that sometimes people aren't engaged enough in their own school districts, no, where they don't go to PTA meetings or whatever.
I want to ask you a question,
real quick,
Ryan.
To that point, real quick, and then just between July and September 1st on Fox News, critical race theory was brought up 1,800 times. So if the perception is reality, yeah. If you have state TV that is running it 1,800 times, you're going to have
NPR that actually is state TV, paid for by the state.
If NPR had,
I would
the
say Fox News is not real, because you know, when Biden administrates it, I'm not sure you could call Fox News state-run television. But seriously,
sir,
in all honesty, I do think there's not enough Republicans in Virginia to win a governor's election. So there's not enough right-wing people getting.
Yeah.
There is something too. Parents in this state showing up en masse upset. Are they all just fools and dupes?
I don't think that you can ever call parents that are showing up for anything, you know, any kind of fool. I think what you have in Virginia is that you have, you know, same thing that you have nationally. 35% ID as progressive, 35% IG as conservative, and then you have the middle, and the elections are won right in the middle every single time, and the Democratic side ran the same candidate that they ran 8 years ago, and the same campaign that they ran in 2020, and voters just said they never heard it, and they heard the other message.
Representative, what do you say to, name me a bigger public school advocate than myself. I'm a huge believer in them. I don't want my kid to have a mashup down his throat. And I don't care if everybody else puts a helmet on their kid, wraps some bubble wrap, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Put him in a bubble. Leave my kid alone. I think you run into a lot of folks that are running to leave my kid alone. What do you say to those folks? They want to support public schools. You just make it impossible.
I think people are tired. I know I'm tired. Everyone's tired of this pandemic, and we need to get through it. And unfortunately, the kids now, they have access to the vaccine. So let's hope that enough of them get the vaccine to where they don't have to wear the mask.
Will this be over after this, or will there be something else?
I'm hoping that we get through this.
Jim Murphy, there are Democrats like Representative Banger that I know some other folks. I don't think folks to the far left of Representative Banger are ever going to let this pandemic go, are they?
I don't think so. And you know, we need to get our schools back to teaching kids.
Yeah.
My daughter has six children. So far this year, they've been sent home three different times at 10 days apiece because somebody in the cafeteria tested positive. My daughter has them tested every day, but they're not allowed back in school. They don't get taught anything while they're gone. They weren't given assignments. They weren't given anything.
You got to pay property taxes those days the school ain't available to your
Absolutely.
Kids?
Absolutely. And that's all in the name of protecting kids. Well, you know, kids aren't getting sick from this thing. We need to go back to teaching our children.
Kim Waller, the Missouri School Boards Association, I think had enough of the Washington stuff.
Yes.
And they withdrew their membership.
Good.
The first thing I've seen in Missouri that they've actually stood up and said, you know what, we hear you. We don't think you're terrorists. I thought it was a masterstroke. All of the education establishment, from the School Board Association leading the way, this election in Virginia, do you think they're going to listen?
I hope so. But, I mean, I think that was the right choice and the right decision that they made. So, yeah, I hope they do listen.
If the education establishment doesn't listen to the School Board Association, they don't listen to what happened in Virginia, they're going to listen to the legislature when you guys make noise?
I believe they will.
they will, too.
I mean, it's always been one of those things I wanted to keep my hands off. But
can you do it anymore?
I can't. Because the emails I'm getting, the phone calls I'm getting, the screams I'm getting on the street are saying, we need choice.
You know people.
So you're going to you're gonna mandate them not to do it?
You're
going to mandate people not to wear a mask? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, they might leave it up to the parent, right?
I would absolutely mandate that if they're going to have a mask mandate, they ought to use a real mask, an N95 mask, that they ought to supply that mask, that they ought to dispose of it properly. The things you're putting on your face right now do zero.
And Scott, these elections, that election in Virginia, to me, that was a mandate of the independent voters. The people that want to stand on one side or the other, they're not Democrat or Republican, they go and vote for the person, and this is a hot topic issue, and I think that that's why that guy was he had 2% voter ID 10 months ago, and then he wins the election by, what, 4 points? I mean, he took an
Ryan
issue.
Ryan Augustine, you tell me who won the week.
You know who I'm going to say is I'm going to be very nice to Joe Manchin because if I'm not nice to him, then he won't vote for anything. So I'm going to say Joe Manchin won the week.
Who won the week?
I'm going to say our veterans. We haven't been able to celebrate them yet, but
Happy
we
veterans
will be
Day.
On
yes.
Sunday. So I'm happy to do that and excited.
Who won the week?
Parents, they finally had their voices heard in Virginia, and they sent out a message clear to the rest of the country. And I think in November, their voices will be heard loud and clear.
Who won the week?
Jamie Lever here. Ed Durr. He won the 3rd Congressional New Jersey State Senate seat. He beat the guy that was the State Senate President, Democrat, and he beat him 52-48. And he only spent $150-something to win.
But you're still going to raise money for your campaign.
I am going to raise money.
I'm going to break the rule. I'm going to say, first of all, I don't see how you could see anyone but Melissa Randall, the School Boards Association. I think they did this before Virginia. They were seeing that the snowball coming. And I'm going to say the folks at the Governor's Mansion, the Governor's Fall Festival was outstanding. Lined up around the block, down the street. Sherry Childs and the crew at the Mansion did a great job. We hope you'll do a great job and join us next week on This Week in Missouri Politics.
This Week in Missouri Politics, sponsored by the Missouri Association of Career Fire Protection Districts, SPIRE, and Sterling Bank.
Guys, thank you so much for watching the show. I want to tell you about a new thing we're offering. It's the Missouri Times Podcast Network. You'll get this show every week. If you want to listen to it in your car, you don't have time to watch it. You'll get our show in Missouri podcast, History of Missouri, one county at a time. You'll also get our midweek update. Once a week, I throw up the Facebook Live. We talk politics, usually to lunch, and discuss politics. You'll get to hear all those things come right to your phone. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Android. Missouri Times Podcast Network. Please join us and subscribe.